Stonehenge has always generated lots of speculation about its significance to the ancient people who built it, especially since the stones used there originated over 200 miles away. A recent discovery has added a new hypothesis that the rocks used at Stonehenge may have been selected by prehistoric people because of how they sounded. Take a listen. That's not a bell, but the sound of rocks being struck at Carnmenyn in Wales, which also happens to be the source of the Stonehenge bluestones. John Wollstonecraft of the Royal College of Arts was part of a team that studied the sonic qualities of the rocks at Stonehenge, and he joins us now. Hello.
Hello.
Now,
good evening.
We're talking about a phenomenon known as lithophonic rocks.
That's correct. Do we know
what makes these types of stones sound like bells or chimes when they're struck?
Well, they've tried to find out, but they don't know. I mean, you know that there's a large ringing rocks park in Pennsylvania. The University of Pennsylvania took one of these rocks and cut it into slices to try and see what the geological formations might be that make these rocks ring in particular. They still don't know.
Do they have different tones? Can you play a melody on them?
Oh, you could. You could very easily, because the tones vary across the surface of these very hot stones, shall we call them. And you see on certain stones there are indentations there that indicate to us that prehistoric man or woman knew that these stones had this quality. So there is an intentionality there, and our proposition is to try to get people to think of Stonehenge in terms of its status as a soundscape as well as a visual monument, and to see that this would have been a kind of significant factor for prehistoric people.
We have a YouTube video of someone playing a melody on these stones on our show page at WNYC.org. But you traveled to the site of where the stones were quarried. How hard do you have to bang on these rocks to generate a sound?
Oh, not hard at all. I mean, in fact, we started off hitting them quite hard because we thought, you know, that was the thing to do. But as we got to realize, you know, the preponderance of these stones in a particular area, you get some very delicate tones and some amazing reverberations by gently tapping them with a quartz hammer stone. You don't have to hit them any harder than a bat would hit a ping pong ball. So, you know, it's definitely possible that these had a musical function. And if they didn't have a musical function, they could have easily been used to signal across distance, because we tested the range of how these sounds traveled, and you can hear them easily half a mile away.
So although we don't know what the real intention was, we assume something had to be up, because they were brought from so far away. There must have been other stones that could have been used to build something that looked like Stonehenge that didn't have these musical qualities.
Well, the significant thing is the blue stones from Pacelli were the first stones that were used to set up the monument at Stonehenge. The larger sarsens come from the Salisbury Plain local area. So it's as if they had to have an inner ring of some special sacred quality. And I'm sure the prehistoric people would have thought of these stones in a kind of magical way, because we're talking about the Stone Age. We're talking about stone having sonic and acoustic properties that's unexplainable and is quite varied between the bell tone, a tin drum, a bamboo kind of sound. And there's also a preponderance of spring wells in this Pacelli area that makes the association between stone and water. And that is always the source of kind of the idea of a healing center, if you like.
Well, today is the vernal equinox, and many people gather at Stonehenge at the winter and summer solstices to watch the sunrise and set between the stones. And isn't its use as a calendar a more likely explanation for Stonehenge's existence?
Well, no, that's one of the reasons. I mean, the aspect, the sonic aspect, the acoustic aspect, hasn't properly been followed through. And it was first mentioned in the 1950s by an archaeologist called Bernard Fagg, who said that, you know, the stones in Pacelli had this lithophonic quality. But no one followed it through. And it's taken us to kind of actually get permission from English Heritage, who look after the Stonehenge site, to actually go there and tap the stones themselves, because everything so far has been done through digital simulation.
They'd be afraid that you'd be banging on something that is a national treasure.
Well, yeah, sure. We had to use membranes between the quartz hammerstone and the actual Stonehenge bluestones to make sure we didn't leave any indentation whatsoever. So the sound was slightly dulled by this prosthetic kind of material that we used between the stone and the stone. But there are still definite lithophonic qualities that we detected in at least 10 of them, and 3 of them in particular rung quite well.
You're also suggesting that being able to get tones out of these stones would have seemed rather magical to prehistoric people.
Imagine the ritual context that you might have had at that time. Imagine, you know, some kind of elder or commander of ceremonies wanting some trick to make the assembled faithful, you know, amazed by something. That would have been one of the things that would do it.
Well, John, we are going to go out with a professional percussionist you worked with playing some of those lithophonic rocks. And my great thanks to you, John Wozencroft of the Royal College of Arts.
Thank you very much indeed. Been a pleasure.